Apple finally remembered what makes laptops great. On October 10th, in Wired, by Lauren Good. To build a MacBook Pro for the future, the company has gone back to what worked in the past. Apple MacBook Pro. Welcome back, ports and MagSafe. So long, Touch Bar. For 6 years, Apple has chiseled features off the MacBook Pro, seemingly in pursuit of sleekness at all costs. It started ditching most ports in 2015 and abandoned its cheerily detachable MagSafe charger soon after. And then there's the Touch Bar, a 2016 addition that didn't make things thinner, but did fail to capture the hearts and minds of developers and customers alike. The Mac has spent half a decade becoming prettier, but less usable. Today, Apple reversed course. The new MacBook Pro comes in two sizes, runs on a high-powered Apple processor, and has been redesigned to incorporate some of the most useful elements of a pro-grade computer. It's expensive, sure, and its performance claims still need independent reviews to back them up. But what's immediately evident in this overhaul is that Apple has remembered that people who use laptops, especially with a pro moniker, sometimes need to prioritize function over form. Macs have had other problems over the past 5 years, although Apple has been loath to admit them. A new version of the MacBook Pro, introduced in 2018, suffered poor performance due to overheating and CPU throttling, which took a software update to fix. Apple eventually backed down on its much-aligned butterfly keyboard as well, completing its retreat back to a more conventional scissor switch design last year. The MacBook Pros that Apple released today, though, are the most comprehensive admission yet that the line was headed in the wrong direction. By incorporating the company's latest efforts in desktop silicon, the M1 Pro and M1 Pro Max chips, they also get Apple closer to finalizing its divorce with Intel. In the process, it may have just won a whole lot of actual pros back, and Apple's reinvention of the Mac also comes at a time when demand is sky high for PCs, as the pandemic has driven people back to laptops in droves. The all-aluminum enclosure of the new MacBook Pros might look familiar at first glance, but Apple has swapped out its 13-inch and 15-inch Pros for 14-inch and 16-inch models. The displays have a higher resolution, with reduced bezels along the edges and an iPhone-style notch for the laptop's camera. The camera has been upgraded, too, to a 1080p HD sensor. And yes, Apple has dumped the Touch Bar. These new MacBook Pros have good old-fashioned function keys instead of a barely used light-up touch-sensitive strip. The actual keys have more travel. Presumably, the keyboard is more satisfying to type on, though we haven't tried it yet. Both the 14-inch and 16-inch models have three Thunderbolt 4 ports and an SD card slot, an HDMI port for connecting external displays, and a headphone jack, minus USB-A. This is a welcome return to the MacBook Pro port types of the mid-2010s. For a while, Apple tried convincing consumers that two USB-C ports were sufficient, that carrying around a MacBook so small it could be mistaken for an iPad was a fair trade-off. Not so much. The reintroduction of a MagSafe magnetic charging port, a staple in older Macs, is especially welcome if you tend to be clumsy and trip over your charging cables. MagSafe mostly ensures the cable releases and that the laptop doesn't go crashing to the floor. That reversion to functionality has come with some sacrifice. The new MacBook Pros are heavier than the previous generation of MacBook Pro, weighing 4.7 pounds and 3.5 pounds, respectively, adding about a half a pound of heft to the previous generation. But they're also just a hair thicker, which means Apple has done some clever maneuvering of the machine's internals to make these ports fit. Battery life, in some ways the only spec that matters, is supposed to be substantially better as well. That's due, in no small part, to the chip upgrade these laptops are getting. The new M1 Pro and M1 Max chips, built on last year's M1 chip, which was Apple's first custom-designed processor for Macs, and powered last year's MacBook Air and 13-inch MacBook Pro. These new chips should offer massive gains in performance, though benchmark and speed test will soon reveal just how big these boosts are. And in a series of not-so-subtle charts, Apple showed how the chips should outperform Intel-powered machines in almost every category. The company claims that the M1 Max's 32-core GPU, for example, rivals even the most powerful laptops with discrete graphics processors. Apple's own apps have been optimized for the new chips, which will start rolling out when the new MacBook Pros ship at the end of the month. And some third-party developers were on hand via pre-taped videos to vouch for the newfound power of the Macs. But these MacBook Pros will still use last year's emulator to run some x86 apps. Arguably, it's some of these apps that are the most important element of MacBook Pros. Buyers of Apple's high-end hardware also tend to be the customers who will spend a lot of money on software, whether for their jobs or more casual use cases. And this is exactly who Apple is targeting with these $2,000 and up machines. A lot of creative professionals have been anxious to see how the M1 was going to be developed for their needs, says Mikiko Kitagawa, research director at Gartner. It's not like all the apps they need are optimized, but Apple has been working with key third-party developers like Adobe. So between the performance boost and key applications, this could be the time for creative professionals to replace their devices. Kitagawa said she believes these new MacBook Pros won't be high-volume items, considering their starting price of $2,000. Putting it another way, she doesn't think that the sales of the new MacBook Pros will alter Apple's current market share in global PC shipments. But the new machines are still technologically and symbolically significant for Apple. She noted that Microsoft recently announced a new Surface Studio laptop, which is also aimed at designers, developers, and producers. That's another laptop that's unlikely to make a huge dent in the market. But it's a chance for Microsoft to show off what it thinks it can offer creative consumers, appealing to creatives and, to some extent, counterculture, has been in Apple's computer DNA. In recent years, it lost its way. To build MacBook Pros for the future, Apple rightly followed the path back to that past.